engineer Scott Costa here with you. And on the phone I have Dr. Joel Moskowitz with UC Berkeley. Are you there, sir?
I am.
Oh, fantastic. Thank
good
you.
Afternoon.
Good afternoon to you. Thank you for taking some time. So, as I was talking about earlier, we were talking about, well, holiday season, Google glasses, smartwatches, wrist phones, these kind of wearable cell phones that may pose some, you know, some health risks. And really, not a lot of people are talking about it. Talk a little bit about how you've been involved in this and what people should know.
Sure, I'd be glad to. I've been studying this issue for about 5 years now, beginning with a review of the research on mobile phone use and tumor risk, in which we found that in the higher quality studies, and there were 10 studies at that time that we considered to be higher quality, significantly increased risk of brain cancer and other kinds of tumors of the brain for those who had used cell phones for 10 or more years, especially on the side of the brain where they that wasn't supposed to be the case. And in fact, our regulatory standards, which are set by the Federal Communications Commission, the FCC, back in 1996, a full 17 years ago, when roughly, I think, one out of seven adults were using cell phones, hardly any children were using cell phones at that time, only protect us against higher intensity microwave radiation, such that it's capable of creating a heating effect, because that's all that our federal government recognized as dangerous, simply because rats stop eating when you heat their brains too much.
Right.
So we have now hundreds of studies showing that this low-intensity radiation has all kinds of biologic effects, including DNA strand breaks, effects on male sperm, increased male infertility. We even are beginning to show reproductive health effects on offspring in humans as well as in animal models from exposure to normal cell phones. And that plays out in terms of effects on the offspring, the child's memory, hyperactivity, effects like that. In addition, and this is quite interesting, just this week the FCC closed the input on a very long process where it was gathering input about reviewing the regulatory standards, the limits that are put on your cell phone before they're illegal. And the cities of Boston and Philadelphia collaborated on a document that they submitted, an official document they submitted to the FCC just this past Tuesday, which basically accuses the federal government of unclear leadership on this issue and a quote-unquote pass-the-buck attitude with regard to protecting citizens from cell phone radiation exposure.
Yeah.
And they go on to point out that way back in 2000, it was identified as part of the Americans with Disability Act that there may be a potential problem for many citizens in terms of essentially allergic symptoms which may be disabling. In Sweden, it's considered a functional impairment, and it's been called electrosensitivity. But it's really basically a series of different kinds of electrosmog illnesses that people develop when they use cell phones a lot, or they're in proximity to Wi-Fi routers or smart meters or other wireless devices. And increasingly, we're seeing in many countries people developing a set of conditions that could range from headaches, fatigue, skin conditions. Ringing of the ears is quite common. A whole host of conditions people are coming down with who've been fine before their exposure. In some cases, it affects people's heartbeats. They develop irregular heartbeats when they're around microwave radiation. So in 2000, the FCC recognized that this may be a problem. They agreed to go ahead and investigate this problem, and they've yet to begin the inquiry 13 years later.
Why the feature acting?
Well, I think it's industry and industry influence on the federal government.
Right.
It began, the historians who've reported on this industry, and basically it began way back when the military was using radar and then sort of moved into telecommunication devices, such that in the mid-90s, the Environmental Protection Agency was doing cutting-edge research showing evidence of biologic activity, things like DNA strand breaks, And the industry got upset, so they basically got the Congress to defund the EPA and tell them they can no longer do research on this issue.
Oh, geez.
And so the EPA has not done any research on this issue. The National Institutes of Health has barely funded any research on this issue. There was a period of time with the cell phone industry, the CTIA, was underwriting some research, but when it started coming out showing harmful effects, they basically suppressed the research, diverted it, they refused to continue to fund it.
Wow.
And interestingly, the head of the CTI at that time, who was essentially the chief lobbyist for the cellular industry, was just appointed by the president and confirmed by the Senate to head the FCC, the regulatory agency. So it's a clear example of regulatory capture. And within weeks of his appointment, Mr. Wheeler has just announced that he's going to try to get the FCC to approve use of cell phones on airplanes.
Yeah, I just heard that. That just happened.
Yeah, so it's like,
wow.
It's a clear case, great case for teaching our students about, you know, putting the fox in charge of the hen house.
Right, right.
That's exactly what's happened. The regulatory agencies have been captured by the industry, and there's this diffusion of responsibility. There's 6 to 8 federal agencies that are supposed to advise the FCC because they have no expertise on health, and they all just pass the buck. And so nothing happens, and these devices proliferate, like Google Glasses. There's Fisher-Price has these gadgets you can put around your cell phone, your iPad or your iPhone, so you can give it to your toddler to play with. We have wireless baby monitors. They're coming out with wireless diapers, wireless bras. Every day it seems like there's some kind of new wireless device that's being promoted.
Right.
And our public schools now, there's an initiative out of the White House that's trying to put Wi-Fi in every public school in the country as part of this Common Core curriculum.
Right.
So they can test students more easily.
So,
well, this is going to expose kids to Wi-Fi radiation.
Right.
Throughout their entire school career, and many of these students are going to develop problems, in my opinion, but through this long-term exposure. Some through the short-term exposure, and we don't know what actually triggers these electrosensitivity conditions, the allergic conditions, but it's probably an interaction between different kinds of exposures in the home, exposures in the office or workplace, in the school.
Right.
And it could interact with certain chemical exposures that you have. So a recent study in South Korea with kids found that kids who had slightly elevated lead levels in their blood showed a dose-response relationship with their cell phone use and their hyperactivity symptoms. But they didn't find it in the kids that didn't have any lead in their blood, this relationship with their cell phone use, which suggests that
it's interacting
what's
with
happening,
other,
and
other.
We have a lot of research on this, is that exposure to very low-intensity microwave radiation tends to open the blood-brain barrier. And then if you have any toxins running in your system, they can penetrate your brain and cause all kinds of havoc.
So it's interacting with other things in the system. So what, in your opinion, obviously more studies and more information should get out, but right now, do you use a cell phone? Should people just not use them at all? Or what would be the recommendation?
I would say I have a cell phone. I barely use it. I would say use them minimally.
Mm-hmm.
Keep the cell phone away from your body. Don't keep it near your head or reproductive organs. In fact, there was 4 case studies just reported in the literature of breast cancer from women who kept the cell phone in their bra. And some of these women were very young.
Good Lord.
So whenever the phone is turned on, don't keep it in your pocket or on your body.
Mm-hmm.
You can all avoid it. If you have a purse, keep it on the outside of the purse with the antennas on the outside. Don't sleep with the cell phone near your bed. Same goes with the cordless phone. Just small distances away from the body make a huge difference in terms of the reduction in the exposure to the radiation.
Right.
Use a corded headset, hands-free methods such as a speakerphone or text.
Right.
Keep your calls short. Don't minimize. If you have to give it to your children or teens, have strict rules about how they use it and how much they use it. Pregnant women should keep the phone away from their abdomen. One of the interesting things is the cell phone companies, to protect their liability, and there's all these class actions now being formed against the industry, One of the interesting things is in the cell phone manuals, deeply embedded in them, there's often language that provides safety warnings,
right,
saying keep the phone 5/8 of an inch or 1 inch away from your body whenever it's turned on. But it's often in very obtuse language that the average person probably would never see, for one. And even if they did see it, they might not even understand why it's there.
Right.
The iPhone, if you go through a bunch of screens, you can actually find the warning in the phone under legal notices. Keep the phone at a certain distance from your body.
That's crazy.
So they're putting in the warnings, but they don't want us to know the warning.
Right.
And in fact, there was a state senator who tried to pass the bill in California, and he kept watering down the bill, and the industry kept opposing it. And so he came down to, I just want to give a one-sentence statement to new cell phone owners telling them to read the safety warnings in the manual, and they said, we will block that.
Wow. Well, listen, Doctor, I could talk to you all day. I have to cut this short, but this is fascinating stuff. I'd love to maybe talk to you.
If people want more information,
yeah,
they can go to my website.
Yeah, please.
www.saferemr.com. And I have a lot of resources that are user-friendly.
Great.
To learn more about this and related issues with regards to towers and smart meters and so forth.
Well, thank you very much. I have to go, but we'll keep up to you. SaferEMR.com. Thank you so much for your time, Doctor. Appreciate it.
The holidays are here, and it's time to visit Pottery World. You'll find the most classical Christmas displays in Northern California here. 20